Speaking of sports, Howard Cosell would have loved the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with post-nasal drip. He wants shyster lawyers to leave Roundup alone. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I'm sure you heard Drew McMillan explaining who I am. All we need to know is who you are. So while you're working on that, let me tell you why we are here. We're here to ease the transition from regular health insurance to Medicare health insurance. Should be an easy, almost fun time for a lot of people. There are a few decisions that have to be made, but yeah, that's why we're here. We're here to discuss what needs to be done in many cases and to discuss the peripheral items about Medicare that often confuse people. So what is happening is we are here because of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. That book is on sale at Amazon.com in paperback format, in Kindle format, or in Audible format. So you can listen to it. How exciting is that? Or if you want to see pretty colorful illustrations, you can buy an edition, a paperback edition at BarnesandNoble.com. The book is a pretty easy read, but it explains what Medicare is all about and what most people have to do when Medicare time arrives for them. So it is this time of the day when we get together to discuss items that are elements of Medicare. And when I say we, I'm talking about my friend, podcast engineer, Randy Carson, who twiddles the dials and slides the slides and makes this thing sound pretty good most of the time. If it doesn't sound good, it's probably going to be my fault. So hello, Randy. How are things going for you today?
I'm good. I'm really good. Again, I just wanted to let you know that the bits have less distance to travel now since we're both on the same end of the country. Right. And you're sounding particularly good today.
Oh, pshaw. I appreciate the compliment, but you just never know when my, as you know, I own three houses around the country and all three houses have no connection to any sort of high speed internet. So it's all run through telephone lines or worse. And occasionally it's problematic, but I'm hoping today we won't have any problems.
You know, I just would like to point out, Doug, that there seems to be a common thread there.
Well, there is. It must be that I like houses that don't have technology.
Either that or they say, oh, Doug Jones is coming. Let's pull out that house that has no water, no running water, no internet, and oh, my God, no air conditioning.
That's entirely possible. And frankly, it becomes your burden as well. I mean, it's bad enough for me, but when you and I are trying to get some work done and it all just drops dead, then it's your burden to bear as well. Hey, listen, I had something I wanted to talk to you about and I completely forgot about it the last couple of times we talked, but we mentioned what a great guy Alice Cooper was a few episodes back, and you've got an Alice Cooper guitar that
I do.
It wasn't your intention to acquire it, but you did acquire it in the course of a charitable event. And so that proudly hangs in your office. I think it is right somewhere.
Actually, it's out in the living room where I can get more eyeballs on it.
Oh, there you go. Of course, I've never been invited to that living room. Maybe someday. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I heard an interview with one of the Monkees, the drummer, what's it, not Davy Jones?
Mickey Dolan.
Mickey Dolan's, right, was being interviewed. And apparently he and Alice are buddies. And they're golfing buddies. Alice is a scratch golfer, and Mickey Dolan's just basically hacks up whatever course people point him at. But he said he bought a house next door to Alice so that they could hang around together more. And what they each did was build a trebuchet or a catapult.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would send beers flying into each other's swimming pool. I presume they were cans of beer, not bottles, but they would, if somebody was out of beer, then all he had to do is make a phone call or send a text, and his neighbor would then, you know, put one in the catapult and flip the switch and it would come flying into his swimming pool.
Wow. That I would love to see that.
I would love to have that kind of free time. What shall we do today? Let's figure out a way to send beer over the fence.
Let's build a trebuchet and let's see if we can launch beers into each other's pool.
Yeah, apparently it worked pretty well. Mickey Dolan seemed pretty happy with their relationship. I don't think they still live next door to each other. I mean, doesn't Alice mostly live in Phoenix now?
Yeah, yeah. So. He's I believe he's here like 98% of the time, except when he has to appear someplace or play or whatever the case may be. I mean, he does a lot of appearances. But yeah. From my perspective, he spends a lot of his time on charitable endeavors.
Right, right. Yeah, this whole thing was about his history. And apparently his start in the music business, I think I was involved in, because he had a band while he was in high school, or shortly after he was out of high school. I was still in high school. And I would come out here to visit my grandparents. And there was a teenage nightclub. There were several of them around the area, but one was located at Indian School and 7th Street. And it was in a shopping mall, but it was a big old teenage nightclub. No booze was served. And his band was the house band. They had other bands that played there occasionally, but his band played there most often. And I'm sure that I spent a lot of time watching those guys play some damn good rock and roll music. Back then, it was all cover tunes. And he eventually switched to his own music. And then I heard an interview with a guy who was his publicist in the early years, in the late 60s, early 70s. And the way they gained fame for Alice Cooper was to figure out ways to irritate parents so that they would take advantage of the generational gap. And so that's why they made him into a heavily made up, weird looking guy and gave him the name Alice and everything, because it was guaranteed to have the parents go to the kids and say, don't ever listen to this guy's music. And then, of course, the kids would run out and buy the albums, knowing that it would irritate the parents.
Yeah, I haven't heard of Alice, but now I have to go buy his album. I'll see you in just a minute.
There was a whole career built on that. This guy did nothing but figure out ways to irritate parents. They were going to sell an Alice Cooper album in the States. It was supposed to drop on a given day. And what this guy did was he figured out how to purchase a million pairs of paper ladies' panties. And the album was going to be wrapped in ladies' panties. And he got the word out because he called the Border Patrol and had the shipment stopped at the border just so that news reporters could report that this horrible travesty was about to descend upon the United States. So, you know, this again got more free publicity.
Oh my God. And there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Not in this guy's world. All publicity was good publicity, but they went to England. They had various schemes to irritate British parents, you know, and that was, Alice Cooper's had a great career, and he must feel a little guilty for all of that irritation that he's foisted on the parents, because he does a whole lot of really good works for people, charitable type things, and everybody loves the guy. So, you know, I guess he's atoned for whatever sins he participated in.
Well, as you mentioned, I own one of his guitars, and that's a long story that I ended up being the last guy standing on a bid.
And also the first guy standing.
I was the first guy. Well, no, I was the second guy standing. I got to get something going here for this bid, because I thought it was going for, you know, a really disgustingly low bid. So I upped the bid, thinking I was going to get some people fired up.
And it didn't work.
I'm glad I've got it, but now I own an Alice Cooper guitar.
You should have talked to his publicist. I bet he could have figured out a few ways for you to get people riled up. I just remembered another trick that he pulled. He said they were going to be playing in some place where they would be guaranteed to be arrested in case of lewd and lascivious behavior. And he thought that would be good PR for the band. And so he dressed them all in plastic pants, plastic shirts, so that all of their nudeness was exposed. And so then he blew in an anonymous call to the local police department, hoping for a raid during which the concert would be shut down and everybody would be arrested, and that would make the newspapers. Well, by the time the cops showed up ready to arrest these guys, their sweat from playing had steamed up the inside of the plastic suits that they were wearing, and they were completely opaque. So,
well, then they go, what's the deal here? I don't see any problem.
Yeah, there was no violation and there was no arrest. And,
oh, that's a great story.
Anyway, I have a pile of paper here. Since we moved back to Arizona from the frozen wasteland of Illinois, I have been disorganized, and I've been trying to take these piles of paper and organize them into some content for our podcast, because it's really not a good idea for us to jaw jack through the whole 20-minute podcast. So I've got some odds and ends here. But the first odd and end I want to talk about is just something that came off the top of my head. Yesterday, I was dealing with one of my clients around this time of the year. Towards the end of the year, people ask me, because of the ads with Joe Namath and Jimmy J.J. Walker and, you know, all these guys, should they be considering their Medicare coverages, and should they be thinking about making any changes? And every year, it's the same story. You never have to think about your Medicare supplement plan that I sold you, because it is forever. That's the beauty of Medicare supplement. Medicare supplement never changes. It's always the same. If there are any changes, those are automatic in response to changes in the government's deductible dictates and so forth and so on. But the Medicare supplement plans do not have. There's no reason to go shopping for a different Medicare supplement unless you want to be covered by a different company, unless you want a different level of customer service, or unless you want to pay a different premium for exactly the same benefit. And most of my clients do not have any reason to make those changes, but I still get asked the question because those ads are so pervasive that people are somehow brainwashed into thinking, I must change coverage, must review options. And so I was explaining the situation to one person. They said, what is the high deductible plan deductible for 2022 going to be? And just like every other year since I've been doing this, the government has not bothered to tell me that their numbers for 2022 or for the following year have been released. It's always like a big shock to me. And I would think that they would let me know. Just put me on your mailing list and send me a mail or a message when you have your new numbers for the next year. But they never do. And so every couple of days, I have to go searching. Well, yesterday afternoon, I discovered that they have exactly done exactly what they've done in all the other years. They've snuck those numbers out without telling me about it. So the one number I was able to look at was the high deductible for the high deductible plans that Randy and I talk about so much, or we call them high value plans, because there is a lot of value packed into those plans, even though there's some cost sharing involved for the first expenditures that the clients might have to make during the course of a year. So the deductible last year was $2,370. Which sounds like a scary number, but as Randy and I have been saying, what you should do is subtract your savings from that deductible, and you come up with a much smaller number at risk. So it's not a $2,370 amount at risk. If you get sick and you have to write a check for that amount, you will have saved all year long an amount maybe equal to $80 a month or $100 a month, or maybe even $120 a month, something like that. So you subtract those savings from the deductible. Well, the deductible the prior year was $2,340. So from 2020 to 2021, that deductible went up $30. From 2021 to 2022, that deductible is going up $120. Now, we're all getting used to hearing about inflation, the supply chain, and all this other garbage that unfortunate economic dimwits have foisted upon us because they don't know how to run an economy. But this is indicative of some major problems And I can't explain to you why there would be a $120 increase in the high deductible plan deductible. And that's Plan F or Plan G, because the benefits on those two are identical. So if you have Plan F or Plan G, your deductible is going to be $120 higher for next year. It's going to be $2,490. And that sounds like a big, scary number, but when you think about it, that's an equivalent to $10 a month increase. And I'm only saying that it's remarkable because it is so much larger than the increase from prior years. The increase from 2018 to 2019 was very small. The increase from 2019 to 2020 was very small. As I said earlier, the increase from 2020 to 2021 was $30. And now the increase from 2021 to 2022 is $120. Doesn't change the basic premise of our position that that is still an excellent deal, because the premium for that plan is so low in comparison to the premiums for the Plan G or some of the other plans that you're guaranteed to save money. And those savings can be subtracted from the risk you're running with that high deductible. And most people will still walk away with big, big savings that they can put in their sock drawer, or that they can put under their mattresses, or that they can go to the racetrack with and gamble on the ponies with. It's their money to do as they please. But if they choose to save it, then it reduces the amount at risk for their high deductible plans. So we're going to have more on the new Medicare parameters for 2022. I just always think it's interesting that they don't make a big splash. There's no headline. There's no big announcement. No politicians get up and say, hey, we have the new numbers. It's always like a big secret, and I have to go search for them every year. So either I'm doing something wrong or they're doing something wrong, and I'm going to blame them until I know differently. So I've got a few things from the mailbox that should make Randy happy. He's talking about going to the Buffalo Chip, and I want him to have a happy visit there so the other patrons are not irritated, but yet they're going to be glad to see him, because we've actually handled some mailbag items. And it's possible that some of those patrons have been the ones who've written these items. So here we have an item from a person named Ronnie. And Ronnie says, I have attached a chart. No, I said to Ronnie, Ronnie asked me what Medicare supplements would cost in his area. He's in Texas. So I said, I've attached a chart showing the monthly rates for several highly rated companies I recommend to my clients in Texas. The Medicare supplement plans illustrated are Plan G, that's the most comprehensive protection available, and high deductible Plan G, the most cost-effective coverage for those enjoying average or better health. In your case, I would strongly recommend United American's high deductible Plan G at $42 a month. This is a company that has a track record of excellent customer service and rate stability. And then I said, knowing that United American is not always a household name for everybody, I've attached to this email a brochure from them giving you additional information about the company and about Medicare supplement plans in general. And then I said, prescription drug coverage is also an important part of Medicare planning, so I've attached a short questionnaire that will help me identify the least costly Part D prescription drug plan that's available in your area. Even if you take no prescription medication right now, failing to buy a plan when you're first eligible may subject you to a lifelong late enrollment penalty. The cheapest Part D plan costs in the neighborhood of $7 per month, so it might be worth considering that purchase in order to avoid the penalty that will be imposed if you decide to buy one of these plans in the future. Now, this is the kind of mail that you're going to get if you go to Randy's website that he created for me and answer the few questions about your residence address, your age and date of birth, and so on and so forth. Those are the things that we need in order to tell you what a Medicare supplement would cost in your area. And also, I will send you a questionnaire asking if you take any drugs so I can tell you what a drug plan would cost you. Those are the things. And then you're going to get a message just like Ronnie got. So Ronnie wrote me, thank you very much for the information. And then he asked the question that causes me to read this mail today. He said, do I have to worry about my doctors accepting the provider I choose for my supplemental policy. I've checked on my primary care doctor accepting Medicare, but I didn't think about the others. Well, he probably went to his primary care doctor and said, do you take Medicare? And the doctor said, yes, I'm guessing from this. But I've had this question come up before. And I've got a new client in Chicago who's got the same concern. And he asked the question the wrong way. He went to his doctor's clerk or payment person or whatever, billing person, and said, I've got United Healthcare insurance now. Do you take that? And he asked it the wrong way. The girl said no, because she had never heard of the United Care Network. She knew that her boss, the doctor, did not belong to the United American Network. And so in reality, United American does not have a network. They don't sell Medicare Advantage plans. They don't have any HMOs or PPOs to have a network of doctors. So of course, you wouldn't have heard about the United American Network. It doesn't exist. Medicare operates in the most broad, free, gunslinging way that a medical plan can operate. Any doctor who wants to take Medicare patients and accepts Medicare payments is available for a Medicare participant to go see. You don't have to ask if the doctor's in a certain network. You don't have to worry about whether the doctor is going to accept your payment. If Medicare is going to pay the bill to this doctor, then your Medicare supplement is going to pay the bill. It's automatic. It operates like a finely tuned machine without any question or deviation. So the question to ask if you're worried about your doctor accepting Medicare is you call up the doctor's office and you say, I am now covered by Medicare Parts A and B, and I have a Medicare supplement. Do you accept Medicare patients with that kind of coverage? And 93% of the doctors in the United States will say yes. And so there's no reason for concern like Ronnie has. And so the way I answered Ronnie, I said, absolutely no concern at all. If Medicare pays for treatment, whatever supplement you own is legally bound to pay or credit against the high deductible. If you've got the high deductible plan, they're legally bound to pay their share of charges that they're responsible for. And I said, sometimes doctor's office clerks are confused about insurance. If I were to suggest the clearest way to inquire, it would be to say, I am covered by Medicare Parts A and B plus a Medicare supplement. And they should be able to tell you, nope, not a problem. We will accept your form of payment without question. So anyway, that's reinforcing the fact that the question has to be asked correctly. Otherwise, these clerks who are confused by all the different types of insurance they're forced to deal with all the time will not be able to answer clearly unless you've posed the question in a way that they can understand. How are we doing time-wise, Randy?
We are out of gas, unfortunately. The other thing I was going to mention is I have obviously irritated the powers that be of the podcasting universe.
Uh-oh.
My landscaper is standing outside my window with a weed whacker. Okay, so this is not good.
Well, you know, you ought to point him in the direction of a Medicare Advantage salesman and let him go whack that guy a couple of times.
Yeah. Speaking of that, while you were describing those various mailbag items, I was sitting here going, what in the world, what should I talk about? And you know what popped into my head?
What's that?
I was thinking that, you know how when you talk to little kids about they got to be good, otherwise Santa's going to leave a lump of coal in their sock.
Oh boy, do I remember those days.
Yeah, well, guess what? I just came up with a new way to deal with the adults in your family.
Tell me. I've got plenty of them that need dealing with.
You better be good or Santa's going to drop a Medicare Advantage plan in your sock.
It's going to scare the bejesus out of some people. I'm going to try that out. We're going to California to gather with parts of the family at Thanksgiving. So I'm going to give that a try and see how it works. I have to say, by the way, you were talking about your undisciplined mic arm. When you just moved it closer to you, the echo went away and you sounded a whole lot better.
Well, for some reason, this mic arm has grown a life of its own.
I know, but you ought to smack it, you know, or stick that toothpick in it to stop it from trying to move away from you.
That toothpick's going to be a high-tech solution here to a low-tech problem, but I'm going to shove that thing in the spring, and it's not going anywhere.
Well, we probably ought to close this episode out so you can go deal with your landscaper.
Yeah, why is it? You know, why is it whenever you and I collectively are podcasting, either you've got a landscaper waving through your window or I do?
I'm guessing they listen for podcast recording times and then decide which of us they're going to irritate.
So, yes.
And it could be the same bunch of guys. I mean, I have never seen your landscaper, so they could be the same ones. They're just traveling back and forth between our houses.
Very well could be. Well, you know something? I'm going to sign us off before I'm not going to stretch my luck here and ruin this recording. So you have just we have to really thank everybody for hanging in there with us. Before you sign off today, I want to remind people to go to Amazon, buy the book, definitely buy the book to be a good gift in somebody's sock. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get an audio version. You can get a color version at Barnes & Noble. You can get just about anything you want. And definitely get that as we lead into the holiday season. And you can get that at either Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. So you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes, and we certainly do appreciate it, with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and the new CFO, CIO, CEO, COO, CMO, and every other O for Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye, everyone.